free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Mona Keil is a filmmaker, director, and co-founder of Studio Animals. Her work encompasses stop-motion, cutout, and drawn animation. She also works freelance as a stop-motion animator, builds puppets and miniature props, and creates practical effects. Her short film Stuffed, Juice, has been shown at over 100 festivals and has received multiple awards. She's currently working on her new stop-motion short film Kitzel in Leipzig. We talked to Mona via video call for this interview. Hi, Mona. Welcome to Deep Dive Genre.
Hi. Welcome.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. You're a visual artist who uses a lot of different styles and material. I read that feel and haptic is quite important to you. I have to say, I'm really thrilled to have a conversation with you today. I'd like to start off with a few general questions and then talk about your short film, Saft. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a visual artist and a director?
As a child, I loved making things. Mm-hmm. So I used to build little creatures like animals and stuff. And I like to draw. And then I decided to study something in that direction. So I decided to go to Weimar, to the Bauhaus Uni, and studied visual communications. And there somehow I came in contact with stop motion. Short films, animation short films, or short films in general, actually. I just decided to try it out, mm-hmm. like many other things. And yeah, I had a shared flat at that time, still have. And there was a free room, so I used that room to build a huge cardboard set.
Wow, okay.
And I don't know, just tried stop motion. And only while doing that, I realized how much work stop motion actually is and how long it takes. I don't know. It was a lot of fun, but I had this moment where I thought I'm never going to do that again in my life. That's too much. But then, I don't know, stop motion is addictive in a strange way. Mm-hmm. And after that film, everything else I did somehow didn't feel like that satisfying. So. Mm-hmm. I had to do it again. I made several films in Weimar and explored different techniques and experimented a lot. And then I did my bachelor there, and then I chose to go to Ludwigsburg to film school, film academy. Yeah, which was a different experience because in Weimar I was experimenting freely. There weren't like any rules. So, but I didn't really know how to make that into a profession. And then in film academy, I learned, you know, how to approach a project in a more organized way.
Yeah.
To do a storyboard and an animatic, to think about a team, a budget, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I still had lots of freedom to experiment. And I also had a small budget to buy stuff that I usually wouldn't be able to afford, and also just buy stuff to experiment with it. Stuff like silicon and epoxy resin and latex, and I had on my hands and could use, and
yeah, you know,
that was really nice. Well, after that, I worked as a freelancer for some time in Leipzig, animating mostly for other people's short films, stop motion animation, and sometimes doing special effects. And then about a year ago, I founded a company together with two other female directors, Alma Weber and Lina Walde. And the company is called Studio Animals. And now I'm making my first short film outside of school with like real money and a team and all that. And that's really cool.
Yeah, that's very exciting. How do you choose your stories, or how do you commit to a project? I mean, what needs to entice you?
For me, it usually starts with some kind of physical sensation. Mm-hmm. That I want to explore, some kind of bodily feeling that fascinates me, like a very specific, ticklish sensation, something like clearly specific. And then I try to come up with a story or mm-hmm. something that fits that theme. Or it can also just be a situation or something like that, because stories sometimes a little bit match for the films I'm making. I feel like it's rather a situation than a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, I hope I can trigger this sensation in the audience as well. For my short film Saft, for example, this was Ekel, Discuss.
Yeah.
Because I noticed that I'm fascinated by disgusting things, kind of,
mm-hmm.
and actually a little bit excited also to see them. I think I share this with people. I don't know if I actually do. But so, yeah, you have to look. You cannot look away, even though you don't really want to look.
Yeah.
So that kind of healing.
So the sensation or the feeling sort of obviously then also influences what kind of material you use and what visual style you choose. I mean, how long does that usually take? Like, for example, for Saft, you had that sort of equal disgust feeling. And then what was your process, I guess, is my question.
Yeah. For Saft, because it was disgust, it was really clear to me that it had to be hyper-realistic in a way, mm-hmm. To get this uncanny feeling. So I decided to go to silicon,
mm-hmm.
and to draw with silicon, like get a texture that is like a realistic texture. But also there was this Saft is about fluids. So mm-hmm. I had to find something to make this fluid.
There's a kind of a wetness when you watch the film, you know, that sort of like you're like feeling almost when you're watching it. And you mentioned earlier things like budget. That makes animation maybe not such an easy genre, because obviously sometimes budget can be quite big. Production times can be long or longer maybe than, let's say, for a non-animation short film or film. And it's also a question target audience. In Germany, like a lot of animation is still automatically people think of, oh, that's for children, which is not true. I was wondering how these things influence your decision in regards to what kind of visuals you use and how you approach cinematography, or maybe they have no bearing on your creative choices whatsoever.
To be honest, I didn't think about that.
Okay.
Previously, usually I didn't because I don't know, I made films I wanted to do myself, and then I actually felt a little bit uncomfortable when other people watched them. But now it's different. I feel like I want them. I want people to watch, mm-hmm. so I need to think about what they might want to watch as well.
Yeah,
because I don't want to force anybody. but then my last film, like Saft, was a little bit off-putting. So maybe also because of that.
Yeah.
I had this reaction sometimes, like people were like, ah. Right now, I try to do something cute.
Okay.
And I also try to do something that might fit for children as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said it's, you think of children when you think of animation. I think that's not such a good thing, but still, I want to try to maybe if I can. But actually, I'm working with NDR at the moment, and they visited my studio.
Okay.
And the editor came in, and she saw the puppets I'm making, and she was like, and that's exactly why this won't be a children's film. I felt like, okay, so maybe I didn't succeed so much in doing the children. I will be an adult animation.
Maybe, but I think, if I can be honest, sometimes... public broadcasters underestimate children.
maybe as well.
We talked about your short film Saft, and that was screened at a lot of festivals and did get a lot of awards. You mentioned that you're working on your new film, which I think is called Kitze.
It's called Kitze, yes.
And for that reason alone, I think it's really fantastic that you're taking the time to talk to us, because you're in the middle of shooting. Can you tell us a little bit more about the story and the animation and the design? And you mentioned that you had this sort of idea for this feeling of
mm-hmm.
someone being sort of tickled.
Yeah. So for Kitze, this film is about two monkey-like creatures that mm-hmm. tickle each other. And it starts really gentle and fun and playful and slow, like nice. And then slowly one of the monkeys takes over control and it begins to dominate the other. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly it's not fun anymore. It's actually a film about consent and overstepping boundaries. Mm-hmm. And yes, I'm shooting right now. Yeah, and that means I'm really busy. But it's also, it weirdly means that it's quiet in the studio again. Mm-hmm. In the puppet making process, I had lots of help and lots of people working with me, which was really, really nice and new experiment for me as well, because usually I work alone. And I had lots of people to help me, like needle punch the hair.
Wow.
Because, yeah, talking about textures, for tickling, I had this feeling, of course, it needs to be soft. You need to look at it and instantly feel like you know how it feels on your skin.
Yeah.
So I thought about like wool or fur. And mm-hmm. In the end, I decided to go full in, like... furry creatures. So I built silicone puppets that are like furry all mm-hmm. over the body, and we had to like needle punch the hair strand mm-hmm. by strand, hair by hair.
Can I ask how many versions of the puppets do you make? I mean, like, for example, in this film there's two creatures or two puppets.
Yes.
So how many versions are necessary, or does that vary?
Actually, there's only one version.
Oh, okay.
Because for this, I made, the puppets are huge and they're quite elaborate in the, like, the inside, the armature part. Mm-hmm. So I built an armature that can stretch its torso part, get really long and also, like, short. So this was a lot of work, and yeah, we built, like, big puppets. So... now I have two of those armatures and I cannot like, build more of them because they are really expensive.
Yeah.
But what I do is I have several body parts I can swap. So I have three different sizes of hands and that I have to swap in like right now, actually, because I'm in between two like shots that have different hand sizes. And then also my face is... you can take it off, and it's made of some kind of clay, so I can sculpt it. And then I have like lots of teeth mm-hmm. and tongue and eyes, and those are the parts I can replace. And I have lots of eyes so I can like dilate the pupils and the teeth. I have lots of them because they are so tiny, and I fear that way. I don't know. I lose one, and I'm. I cannot lose one.
Yeah.
And also the teeth, they sharpen at some moment in the film, so mm-hmm. I need to replace them as well.
Do you already know, obviously you have a, you know, idea of what the story is, how long the film is going to be in the end, more or less?
Yes.
Can you give our listeners sort of a rough idea? Let's say, I don't know, it's maybe 2 minutes, 50 seconds long, and that takes you, I don't know, a month, 2 months.
So the film will be, I know exactly because of the editing part comes before. So,
okay, and, yeah, you have the storyboards.
I finished editing. So it's 3 minutes and 40 something,
okay.
50.
Yeah,
so it's almost 4 minutes.
Cool.
And because I worked on it like in total for 2 years, I would say, but that's not the shooting part. The shooting part is like
pre-production, obviously.
Pre-production. Yeah. Also like development and then getting the funds and so shooting alone, I think is, let me think, 4 months.
Wow. But yeah, I mean, so 4 months and then overall like 2 years, and then you still have probably some post-production as well.
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's a lot of time for this like 4 minutes film.
Yeah, definitely. Which is a perfect segue to the next question. I'm always sort of interested in, like, if you spend so much time with a story and with characters or just a project, how hard is it for you or to let go of the characters and the story? put them out into the world and have people see it. Are you ready? Is it like, oh, I'm like, go do it? Or are you sort of sad that it's over?
I feel like it's strange because when I'm building the puppets, mm-hmm. I feel like I am in control.
Yeah.
I'm making whatever I feel like making, and that's my puppet. And then as soon as I go into shooting, they are not mine anymore because they start to create a life on their own. And when I watch the animation I did in the day, and then they start to live, so it's not me controlling them anymore. That kind of feeling. Yeah. I know it's a little bit cheesy, but that's how it feels. So they are already gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know after shooting, hopefully I will be seeing them a lot. Like more than I want to, probably, because after post-production is finished, I usually don't want to look at it for mm-hmm. a while because I looked at it too much. So I know I'm not sad. I know they are doing well out there in the world.
How is it for you then when you're like at screenings, at festivals, and you see how people react to it? Does that give you like a new, I don't want to say perspective, but like, how does that usually feel for you when that happens?
Mm. So it's still a little bit uncomfortable for me.
Okay.
Sometimes I still cringe a little bit, but it's always interesting what people mm-hmm. see in it or what they like, where they laugh, where they maybe don't. Yeah.
No, I get it. I mean, you put so much of your work and your sort of ideas and your creative energy in that. And
also I need to stop thinking about the people who are watching this while I'm doing it, because otherwise I cannot. I'm doing it and I'm doing it for myself. And then, people come and see it.
Well, and I have a few, well, I say rapid fire questions, but you can take as much time as you want for the answers. Obviously, you're in the middle of shooting and you're focused on Kitzel, but is there maybe a particular story or genre or maybe even like material that you would still like to tackle or to work with?
Yeah, lots of them. Especially the material part.
Yeah.
But for the genre, I think, I don't know, maybe that's even what I did last time, but I feel like a little bit, I like to go into the horror genre a little mm-hmm. bit more, because I had a small job where I had to build a silicone finger for like a practical effect for a live action film. And there was blood coming out if you punch a needle underneath the fingernail. So it was lots of fun to create that prop. So I thought, I don't know, maybe I need to go in the bloody direction.
Okay.
But then also I think about documentary and like interviews, maybe something in combination with that. But yeah, I'm open for stuff.
Yeah. And you've been at this a few years now. What would, in your experience, would you say is the biggest sort of misconception people have about the work of a stop motion artist or like a visual artist?
Hmm.
Do they even know what that entails, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, I think people by now know that it takes time and it's a mm-hmm. lot of work. So I don't think that's a misconception anymore. I think maybe people still think stop motion people are like dragons. that's what I sometimes get, like, magic people.
Ah, okay, got it.
People think stop motion is going to die out soon, or already has, maybe some kind of nostalgic art form. And I think actually that's not true.
Yeah.
And it's growing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know why, but maybe also as a kind of counter movement to this generated images that we see at the moment. But I don't know. I just hope it goes on and we can like go on making films like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just saw yesterday a trailer for like, you know, big budget fantasy movie.
Yeah.
And I just looked at it and I'm like, everything looks so fake and so flat, and nothing about this screamed for me. It's like, oh, I have to go watch this. This is, I think that's especially like if you look at the older films, animated or not, like you say, it's like if you have the feeling that, oh, this is
something
you can
actually touch,
this is actually, you know, real, that makes such a big difference.
I think so.
And for the final question, I mean, we obviously talked about that you're currently shooting, but do you have maybe already ideas for your next projects, or do you maybe even work on several things at the same time?
Yes. So the next projects I know I will be working on, actually not once I'm directing, but the next project I will be working on is a project called It Came With the Tide. And it's a short film produced by the Hidden Institute, which are also friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And also they do another short film at the same time, Lovebird. And this is by Ferdinand Erhardt, who is directing, but also Hidden Institute producing. So those will be two stop motion films that will be done in Leipzig and also in my studio. And
nice.
So we are a little group of people doing stuff together. So I'm animating and building sets and stuff like that on those films. And then maybe after there will be another one from me. But I think I also like to switch it up to not be the like leading role all of the time, because it's also exhausting.
Yes. I can only imagine. Well, thank you so much for taking the time, Mona. It was such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.